Well, tell you, in life, there are a lot of situations that come up that we think we know what the situation is. We already kind of have our wits about us. We think that we have something figured out, even though we might not have it. I'll give you one, this is an example. Everybody thinks success is just this gradual slope up, right? If you're going to succeed in something, I even have overnight success in here just to be funny. But if you think you're going to succeed in something, think you're going to have a big idea, someone gives you some money, you build it, and bam, you got overnight success. And really, it doesn't work like that. Really, success is all over the place. You start, you stop, you work hard, you go through all these things, and then that's how you get to success. I'll give you another example about the way folks think it is. This is something that's kind of near and dear to me. People say, well, you know, you're an air traffic controller, so you must sit up there in that tower and talk to airplanes. And I'm like, yeah, some of us do, but that's only like 10 to 15% of us sit in tower and talk to airplanes. Most of us sit in radar rooms and talk to airplanes. That's what Ellen and I did in our career. We sat in radar rooms like this, and we worked in approach controls and centers, and that's what actually happens. And believe it or not, 85-80% of most air traffic controllers are never set foot in the tower. They are in a dark room like this talking to airplanes. I'll give you one more example before we go into my lesson. Obsession, you think obsession is this word. That's what you think it is. Like when you see somebody's obsessed with something, you think, you know, it's just a word, you know? That's not obsession. This is obsession. This man and coffee is obsession. And I'm gonna tell you, it's not a healthy one either. I mean, it's really bad. I owed you one, Chad. But seriously, tonight we're talking about something that we may have already made up in our minds what it is. We already think we know what the solution to the puzzle is. And I'm not saying that all of us are like that. I'm not saying that we all feel like this. I'm just saying that this is something that's worth talking about, especially in a world when there are so many people saying so many different things. It's worth us just taking a little moment and going through this and seeing what thus the Lord has to say. And I think it would be appropriate for us to do that. So it says, are we the only ones? And the question is, are we the only ones referring to the Church of Christ? We have this kind of in our head in some places. There's a traditional view that the Church of Christ is the only group of people that's going to be ushered in to heaven. And I want to see what the Bible has to say about that. Even though I am so-called a member of the Church of Christ, I want to make sure that I'm not basing it off of what I think. I want to go in the Bible and see what it has to say about that. And that's what we're going to do tonight. Are we the only ones? Matthew 7:21. Thank you, Aaron, for reading that. We'll first start by saying, who are we? First, we are disciples of Christ. That's what you'll see in the Bible. That's forefront. We are disciples of him. Before we go into anything else, we have to first start a personal commitment to Christ. That all starts with being a disciple. You'll see there, Matthew 16:24, then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, pick up their cross, and follow me. That's really important because this is what Jesus is saying. Now, and I know I'm saying, well, this is what Jesus is saying, but my point here is nobody else is saying that. This is the master saying this. He's not saying anything else. He's saying, if you want to be my disciple, I want us to pay attention to that term because a lot of other folks are over here saying stuff, but the master has said, this is what I need you to be, my disciple. So let's pay attention to that. Because he's very wise in that he is the creator of us all, and he did this for a reason. Because if we're going to be his disciple, we have to learn. A disciple is nothing more than a devoted learner, somebody who follows somebody else, in this case, Christ. We're supposed to learn. We're supposed to pick up what he's putting down. We're supposed to focus on him. We're supposed to do all these things. And what are we supposed to learn? We're just supposed to learn, or we're supposed to be sitting there listening to what he has to say and this and that. We're supposed to learn from his teaching. That's what we are really trying to do here, learning from his commandments. He gave us a lot of things along the way in the red there in the Bible. There's a lot of things that we can pick up from Christ just by focusing on his teachings. And sometimes we may not do that. Here's a passage for you, John 14:15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. This is the crux of it all. This says it all. This sums it up very nicely. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. He's talking about discipleship. Now, Christ didn't come along and say, I want you to be my Christian. He didn't say, I want you to be my church member. He said, I want you to be my disciple. And this is what I want you to do. And this is how I want you to go about doing it. It's important. He is the one in charge. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. This is important. Let's start this off first. We are number one, not a part of a membership club, not a part of a congregation, not a part of the universal church. We are number one disciples of him. And that drives everything else. Because if we go by that, we'll go by his teachings that tell us we're supposed to go and be in these other groups or bodies and so on and so forth. Matthew 16:24, we just talked about this, but I want to focus on this. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. I want to say this, that this discipleship is not dependent upon something else. I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. This all goes back to the beginning. This all goes back to how we get to where we are. Discipleship is not dependent upon anything else except for we deciding that we're going to follow him. So if stuff decides to go bad, if our congregation decides to go bad, if the Church of Christ decides to go bad, if any of those things decide to go bad, then we still have to be disciples of him because he said, deny yourself and pick up your cross. So even if everything else falls apart, we still got that. Supposed to be disciples of him in that manner. So we're talking about disciples that's independent of personal gain or loss. We'll move on and talk about the universal church. Matthew 16:18 there says, also I say to you that you are Peter, and that upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. That's a very important scripture, a very important passage, because this establishes, this lets you know that this is the universal church. This is not talking about Kent, the local congregation. This is talking about the whole body, the whole group of people that are going to be ushered in. This is not talking about the Kent or the Auburn or the Renton Church of Christ. Those are local congregations. What Christ is referring to here is the universal, the one church. That's what he's referring to. That's what we should know it as. So you become a disciple, then you enter into the universal church. Very methodically the way that he has laid it out here. When you start talking about this universal church, it's often in the Bible referred to as the body of Christ. Colossians 1:18 says, he is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. You'll see this referred to in the Bible, the church, the universal church referred to as the body of Christ. When you see that, just think universal church. When you see that, just put all that together. Just think Brother Buck said it. The Bible says, Colossians 1:18 says that he is the head of the church, the body. So when you see the body of Christ, that's what it's referring to, this universal body there. Now, something really important to note, I mean really important, something that we want to really grab a hold to here, is there's only one body. There's not multiple bodies. There's not multiple ways to do this. There's only one universal church that we are entered into once we have put on Christ in baptism. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, for by one spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one spirit. Or a similar passage, Galatians 3:27 there, for we were all baptized into Christ. For all who were baptized or put on Christ. And it says the same thing. It's talking about that singular action there, that singular, we're all part of this one family. And I can't say that enough. I know you're like, Buck, you're hammering that home, because sometimes we get this confused. Sometimes we get to listening to other folks out there saying all kinds of other things. And I'm saying that the Bible is clear on this. The Bible has not mixed its words. The Bible has not came in and started swapping things out. With just a little bit of looking at it from a truly objective perspective, you'll see that there's one body, there's one church, there's one Christ, there's one Spirit, and there's one God. We have to go look at that and we'll see it. So we talked about disciples. We got that. That's what Christ told us to be. Then he started to go down this road talking about the universal church, Matthew 16:18. Upon this rock I'll build my church. Singular. That's what he's talking about. But then what he does in his infinite wisdom, he gives us local congregations. He gives us these Kent Church of Christ, the Renton Church of Christ. And there's a whole bunch of reasons Christ did this. He is a smart one. He is the one that figured all this out. But there's a lot of reasons. Like, we get to have elders, we get to have deacons, we get to have a sense of family, we get to have all these things that we enjoy. We come in here and we laugh with each other, we joke with each other. That's great. I don't go a Sunday without somebody poking fun at me, especially for Christina, but still, we get to do that. And I think that's a good thing, not because I say so, because Christ says so. So we have these local congregations that we're supposed to be in, have this close family relationship with. And let's put all of it together now. Who's in charge of all of this? Christ Jesus. It's not my say-so. It's not the elders say-so. It's not anybody say-so except for Christ Jesus. He's in charge. He decides who comes in and goes out. He decides who meets the qualification. He decides who has the right heart. We can't look at somebody and judge their heart, but Christ can. He decides all of that. It's important that we realize that Christ is the head of the church. Ephesians 1:22 says, and he put all things in subject under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church. These passages like this are just all over the place. I didn't realize it, but they're there. And they're there, and they paint a clear picture of exactly what things need to be. A clear picture of how things that God has lined up and the way they look and the way they're supposed to be. He has done all of it already. They're right there, crystal clear, for our entertainment. But seriously, for our gain, our knowledge, our growth, we have all these things right there. So we talked about what the Bible says, and that's pretty much what the Bible says on church, discipleship, universal church. There's some other passages we'll go over there later, but the crux of it, the meat, that's what the Bible says. Now, you'll hear a bunch of other stuff out there, but I'm telling you, I laid out what the Bible actually says about these matters. Let's talk about the traditional mindset. This is, and I had another word in here. I changed it to a traditional. I put what we were taught. That's what I had originally, but that's not what everybody was taught. Traditional mindset is more appropriate. This is what I was taught. Listen, when I came up out of water, this is what I was taught, without a shadow of a doubt. I know that's what they said, you know, it's the Church of Christ. And I'll tell you what I mean here. The traditional mindset says that we are the only ones that are saved. We are the only ones. You got books like this that was given to me. Listen, I got the Bible and I got this book. When I came, it's like I was drying off and they were like, hurry up because we got this blue book to give you. These are the two books, the Bible and this is what I got when I came out of the water. And instantly, let me tell you, when I looked at it and I started to thumb through it, instantly I got this feeling of, whoa, I've done something. I got this feeling that I've reached my success. This esteemed group, this group of people that are always right, that are always doing the right thing. This book, and there's a lot of good things in this book. I'm not discounting this book, but there are some things now that I look at, I'm like, let's stretch it in a little bit. Talks about the name and all the other stuff. We'll get to that later on. But there's just a lot of things there that I'm like, really? Because I don't know if that's what the Bible teaches. You know, and I don't mean that like I said, I'm going to say it again. This book is a good book. It has a lot of good information in it. But what I'm saying is, and I don't know if it's true for you, but it was true for me. It gave me this sense of I'm a member of the Church of Christ and I need to put on my cape and I'm good. And that's just not what it's about. We had Bible classes that taught this. I've sat in several Bible classes that said, you want to know why we're the Church of Christ? Because we're the only ones that do what the Bible says. We're the only ones that go about this and so on and so forth. We're the only ones. We're the only ones. I've heard that over and over and over again. And I believed it. You want to know what that does? What that does is it makes you feel like an elitist, like you're part of something that being a part of that is the pinnacle of success. That's what that does. And then we wonder why we have problems with other things and as far as going out and preaching the word. It almost made me feel like I was better than the folks who weren't in the Church of Christ. How can you go preach the gospel to somebody when you think you're better than them? And books like this and studies like this have done that, have kind of infiltrated us in our minds. I don't want to paint this as all bad, but I'm just telling you this is what it is. We have our own measuring stick. We have situations where we create our own test of fellowship. I'm not saying that we do this here at Kent, but we've done it in the Brotherhood, in the Universal Church. Well, people got to look this way, they got to walk this way, they got to behave this way before they come into the church. That's where, and this is just Buck's opinion, and I'll say that, that's where I believe we get this from, where we're so selective when it comes down to people who we're going to give the gospel to. Because we've already made up in our mind what they need to look like. They kind of need to be looking like Church of Christ members before we even go to them. Not realizing that Jesus Christ says, I came for sinners. I didn't come for anybody that looks good. I didn't come for anybody that you think is qualified. I came for anybody that has a soul that wants to come after me. That's what he said. But we've preconditioned ourselves sometimes to go after folks that fit this Church of Christ mantra. And I'm saying it doesn't do us well, brothers and sisters. It just doesn't. We need to be beyond that. Go and do exactly what Christ told us to do. I'll tell you something. I was in the Navy, and I have a lot of Navy stories, so just get used to it. I was in the Navy, and I was dealing with a certain chief, and I was very upset that he wouldn't give me a title. I said, Chief, I want to be the title. Now, listen, I was only in the military for like 6 months, and I'm telling the chief, who's been in for 20 years, I need to have a title. Go figure. But I want to have a title. He says, I tell you what, you're going to be the grand poobah of the brooms and mops. I was like, man. I'm somebody now, buddy. I'm the grand poobah, brooms and mops. Not realizing he was poking fun at me, that grand poobah. But that, I'm telling you, I felt like I was somebody. Now, immediately, you know what I did? I put down the brooms and mops and went and started telling people, hey, you know what Chief told me I am? Hey, I'm the grand poobah, brooms and mops. I'm in charge of this. That's what I did. Not realizing that there was work to do. I had to sweep the floor. I had to swab the deck. That's a Navy term. I had to swab the deck. I had to do all those things. But I was so caught up in my title that I forgot about the work. And I fear sometimes, church, that we may be in that same predicament. So caught up in being Church of Christ members that not realizing that we were disciples first. That's why I kept going over that. We're disciples first. We realize that we're disciples. We got all this work to do. It doesn't matter what kind of name we're called. We just want to bring glory to the Father. That's what a disciple does. Just bring glory to him. Don't worry about what they're calling us. Remember, they were called Christians. Christ called them disciples. So think about that. They were called Christians, but Christ called them disciples. I'm not saying there's something wrong with that. I'm just saying, just like the slide says, we need to be careful. Let's not go in this thinking that we've reached this place, this summit, this glorious place to these Church of Christ members. So let me tell you something. I'll talk about it later. We ain't perfect. We're a long ways from it. We all need the blood of Christ. Let's not forget that every one of us sitting here need the blood of Christ at a certain point to continuously wash away our sins. So if we need his blood, then we ought to go by his commandments. That only makes sense to me. The Bible is clear on this. I mean, crystal clear. The passage that we read tonight, Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven will enter. Now, let me tell you something. I've looked at this passage. I've remembered this passage. I had this passage remembered the first year in Christianity, and I never noticed that does the will of my Father in heaven, who will enter. I just didn't see it. Only thing I was thinking was not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter. And then I just glossed over the second part because guess what I said? I'm in the Church of Christ. Think about that. I'm in the Church of Christ. I didn't even read that he who does the will of my Father in heaven who will enter. You think Christ is concerned about what we call ourselves? You think he's concerned about we're saying that we're the Church of Christ? Do you really think he's concerned about that? He's not concerned about that at all. Because we have examples to show that he's not concerned about that. Church of Christ. That's great. But we are to be disciples first. Mark 2:17, and hearing this, Jesus said to them, it is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. And I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Regardless of our condition, regardless of whoever condition, Christ says, I got some blood that's more powerful than all of this. All you got to do is come after me. My blood will take care of your debt that you owe. It's important that we remember that. I preached a lesson on this tax collector. I want to bring out a point in this. And it's specifically about titles. Luke 18, you can read that account there, 9 through 14. It's talking about the tax collector who's standing there, you know, beating his chest because he felt like he wasn't even worthy enough to pray to God. Meanwhile, the Pharisees over here saying, I fast, I give tithes, I do all these things. And then here's the thing here. It says in verse 14, I tell you that this man went to his house justified rather than the other, talking about the tax collector. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Just think about this. You got this Pharisee who has this great title. I mean, this man is standing off over there. He has great title, great religious prestige. He has all of these things. And you got this tax collector over here who was beating his chest, ashamed to look at God for what he's done. And Christ says the tax collector is the one that's going to be there on that day. What does that let you know? Christ doesn't care about our titles. All of us sitting here today thinking we have a protection, you know, robe of Church of Christ on, we're deceiving ourselves. We don't have that. The only thing we have is our soul that is going to stand before God one day. And the reason why I'm so passionate about this is because I fell into this trap, thinking that the Church of Christ was just going to get me there. You can believe that if you want to. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches you need to be concerned with your heart. That's what Jesus says. Jesus says you need to work on your heart. Jesus says you need to work on what you're doing and how you're doing and how you're going about your day, treating folks and all that. That's what Jesus is talking about. He ain't talking about this title that you have. John 14, 15, it says it clear there, if you love me, keep my commandments. He didn't say, you Church of Christ members, if you love me, keep my commandments. He said, if you love me, conditional, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Well, what if somebody loves him and they're doing everything that they can and they're not in the Church of Christ? We'll talk about that. What if that's the case? This is a group of people who love God with everything they have. They are focused on him. They are trying their best. They're reading their Bibles. They have all these things that they're trying to do. What if that group of people out there exists and their name is not the Church of Christ? What do we do with that? Well, I'm telling you, my Jesus, your Jesus, who came to die for sins, did not come to be selective. He came to die for sins. That's the finale. He came to die for all sins. Here's the truth about it. Here's the truth. The Church of Christ is only mentioned in the Bible 2 or 3 times. That's the truth. Let me tell you something. There are a lot of folks who are going about every day hanging their hat on Church of Christ, and it's mentioned in the Bible among churches the least. If you just want to know the truth about it, 2 or 3 times. And I put 3 because certain translations, like King James, it's actually 2. Certain translations has it 3, but I'm telling you, only 2 or 3 times you'll see Church of Christ in the Bible. What does that mean? Hope we ain't hanging our hat on that. I hope we're hanging our hat on having our soul right with him instead of a title. Romans 16:16 says, greet each other with a holy kiss, and the churches of Christ greet you. That's what it says, and that's what I was taught. I had that one down for memory as well. But here's the thing. Church of God, that's mentioned over 10 times in the Bible. Think about that. Church of Christ only a couple times, but the Church of God over 10 times in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 1 and 2, to the Church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus. This says to the Church of God who was in Corinth, who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus. These folks were sanctified, and they were called the Church of God. 2 Timothy 3 and 5, but if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the Church of God? It's talking about leadership there. He didn't say Church of Christ. He said Church of God. This shook me to the core after, you know, looking at it. I was like, whoa, Church of God is there way more than Church of Christ. And I'm hanging my hat on Church of Christ, on a name out of all things, a name. And then we're so proud of Church of Christ, which we should be. We should be proud to be a part of something that's bigger than us. the royal family. I agree, we should be proud of that. I've tried to change my tone and say I'm proud to be a disciple of him first. Nobody can take that away. I've been trying to do that, but we should be proud to do that. But can we be hypocritical in that? I mean, we're sitting here saying Church of Christ, Church of Christ, Church of Christ, and that's wonderful, but are we being hypocritical in that? You know, there's passages out there, 1 Timothy 2:8, where it says lifting up holy hands. I'm telling you, I was in a congregation one morning. I'm sitting there, and this lady comes in, and she says, she lifts up her hand. And everybody was like, what? This is Church of Christ. It's like lift up her hands. She just had her hands up in the air. She wasn't saying anything. She wasn't jumping around. She just had her hands there. And let me tell you, you would have thought somebody had just got up in church and said some bad words the way folks were looking at her. Like, what is she doing? That's what the denominations do. Lift up hands. Well, the Bible says do it. When's the last time you seen somebody hold up some hands and can't? The Bible says do it right here, lifting up holy hands. When's the last time you seen it? I hadn't seen it. But sometimes we could be so proud. We're the Church of Christ, and there's things in the Bible and other things like this that we just don't do. Got to be careful with that. We can't say we're the only ones doing right, and we don't even do everything that the Bible says. Got to be real careful with that. Not our name, no salvation. I'm going to tell you a quick story before I get out of here. I was doing a Bible study with this guy some years ago, and I said, tell me about your background. This was one of my first times trying to go out and spread the word. I was only like a two-year Christian, and I was just trying to get out there and just spread the word of God. I was just so full of all the things that God has done for me, I just wanted to go share it with somebody. So I go sit down with this guy, and he starts telling me, and I say, hey, what about your church? And he gave me another name. It was actually like the Church of God and something. I can't remember what it was, but he gives him his name. And in my mind, I'm like, I got him. He's not part of the Church of Christ. That's what I said. I got him. He is not part of the Church of Christ. Then I started talking to him about the scriptures. I was like, whoa, this guy knows more than me. Need to really back up off the scripture talk a little bit because he knows a lot. And then come to find out, they have elders, they have deacons, they worship on the first day of the week. They take this Lord's table very serious. They go about their business, they study, they have more studies than the Church of Christ do. They go about this way more seriously than the Church of Christ do sometimes. And I'm looking at him trying to convince him that he's wrong because his name doesn't say Church of Christ on the front. What sense does that make? Is that what the Bible teaches? Is that what we went over? Being a disciple was and all that? We're out there looking at folks, well, you don't have my name, you can't be, no, there's no salvation for you. You don't have the Church of Christ name. That's that. Logically, that just doesn't make any sense. That's what the passage says, Matthew 7:21, those who keeps the will of my Father will enter in. If we're keeping the will of the Father, then great. And let me just say that I've done a lot of research and looking and asking questions. The Church of Christ, for the most part, if we want to call ourselves that, for the most part, is probably one of the few groups of people that seek earnestly to obey God. So I'm not taking that away from us. You know, sometimes we have to give ourselves credit, and that's something that I can report to you earnestly, that there's a lot of folks out there with different names that are just not doing it. But I'm telling you, it doesn't matter. All thing that matters is, are we obeying him to the best ability that we can? Not the Church of Christ only. Any man can obey. Any man can love Jesus. And those people that assemble together may not be called the Church of Christ. And nowadays, and like I said, here's the caveat to that. I've looked at a lot of churches of God and all these other ones. And it's hard for me to find anybody who's seeking the Lord earnestly. But that's not my call, because it's not my church. It's his church. He's the head of it. So if anybody has to do that, it's him. And just to think, all the folks. And this is the part that bothers me about me. This is just Buck. All the folks that have walked by. And I had my nose up in the air because I was a member of the Church of Christ. That's what bothers me. You get what I'm saying? All the folks who need the blood of Jesus, all the folks who have lives in complete turmoil, and all the folks who have all these things going on. I wonder how many times I just, you know, had my nose up in the air saying they're complete idiots because they're not obeying to the Church of Christ and all that. And I wonder if I would have just had a different mind frame, could I have done something different? Could I have said to those folks, you know what? It's okay, whatever condition you are. I know a man, Christ Jesus, who can fix every bit of this. I wish I would have had that compassion instead of having my nose up in the air. 2 John 1:6 says, and this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. Walk according to his commandments. This is the most important part, brothers and sisters. I can't say it enough. Christ is not concerned about what we call ourselves. He's not concerned about how we feel about it. He's not concerned about what somebody's told us. He's not concerned about do we like it. He's not concerned about any of those things. He's only concerned if we obey his commandments. And we don't have a church to put somebody in or say that they're not qualified for. He's too big for that. He created us all. We should have a different mind frame. I'll say this is my last slide here. That Christ is in charge. Chad said it this morning, and rightfully so, I agree with him wholeheartedly, that we should just let God be God. We should stay out of his business. We should stay out of Christ's business. Could you imagine, you know, you have some type of business or operation, or you're at work or somewhere, and somebody keeps that's way down there that doesn't even know what's going on, coming up trying to tell you how to run your shop. You're like, get out of my face. We should just let God be God and let him dictate the rules. And my last thing here is, just like with anything else, we shouldn't lean on our own understanding. It shouldn't be where we are diagnosing these spiritual problems with our earthly wisdom. We shouldn't be looking at somebody trying to figure out who they are or what they are or do they belong with us and so on and so forth. We just need to do the will of the Father. I like our mission here to show love to people in and outside of the body. I love that. Because you don't see that nowadays. I'm telling you, across the brotherhood, there's a lot of folks who are focusing just inwardly and not concerned about all these souls out there that are walking around who need Jesus, and that's who he came for. While you were yet sinners, he died for you. Let's keep all that in mind as we have a fresh perspective on what it means. Let's keep it in mind to be disciples first. Let's keep it in mind to not worry about our title. Don't worry about what somebody else calls you. Just be a disciple. Just keep all that in mind, because none of us are worthy. We just need to depend on him. If you're a Christian here today and you've maybe had this mindset, you've maybe had it in your mind that the Church of Christ is what saves you instead of your complete obedience to him as a disciple, then that's okay. Then Christ is standing there saying, you know what? I get it. I'm going to take you back. You made mistakes, that's what I died for. I'm going to make sure that you're squared away with me. We just got to ask forgiveness. And if you're not a Christian, if you have not obeyed his commandments, the simple ones, repent, confess, believe, be baptized, those, if you hadn't done that, then today's the day. If you don't want to do it today, fine. We can teach you what that means. If you're like, you know what, I don't want to go get in the water today. I don't want to be baptized today because I want to understand what I'm doing. Great. We'd rather you do that anyway. Talk to somebody about it. Talk to me or Chad and one of the elders and say, hey, or one of the deacons, anybody here and say, hey, I want to be saved. I want to take care of this sin problem. How do I go about doing that? Whatever your needs may be, come now as we stand together and sing.